The thoughts and opinions of the Ninja Please podcast are just that. These are just jokes, people.
Check. All right, I just wanted to make sure I could hear myself.
We in that thing. We here. Check.
Yeah, that sounds so much better. All right, let me get your bottle open.
I guess we can also talk about this Keke Palmer shit. I don't give a hot fuck about that shit, but as much as that shit has been everywhere.
We can just start with that, to be honest with you, man. Yeah. Before we get everything started, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a long overdue adventure of the Ninja Please podcast. I'm your host, Starman, aka Yuki, aka Starman, Fox Blanc. It's been a while. And I forgot half my aliases, but Momoro Puffin Chiba, the Moonlight Knight, not to be confused with Moon Knight. Shout out to Macchio Metal, the one and only Tanuki. I'm in this thing with one of the greatest ninjas ever do it.
I'm having difficulties with my headset.
It looks like you got it.
Good. I think I got it, yeah.
Can you pass me the ball opener?
Yeah,
thank
I got you.
Thank you, sir.
It's your boy Ocean Man, a.k.a. Tony Munn Camera, a.k.a. the spook that sat by the door. We're going to get right on into it. Yes. Chiggity chong. All of that. All right, let me get it out of my system.
All right. Thank you, Ocean, for that. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for listening. We're still doing this thing. It's been a lot going on in the past couple weeks. Can't recap everything, but it's a few things I definitely want to get into and recap. First and foremost, the talk of the town is, I wasn't going to even address this shit because I'm telling niggas, wrap this shit up now, bro. Wrap this Keke Palmer Usher shit the fuck up.
Wouldn't let that shit happen to me, though.
Bro, I ain't got no think piece. Nah, because when they started rolling out the think pieces, like, the guy literally said something about the dress, and all I seen was women tell me it wasn't about the dress, it was about Usher. And then they start rolling the Boondocks clips with Usher, and I thought that was funny. My favorite thing about it was this shit happened 1 year to the day that Usher did the, watch this. Like, I was like, damn, bro, Usher show up in July. So I... But shout out to Keke Palmer, man. I've been watching Human Resources lately. She plays as Rochelle, the love bud that turned into hate arm this season. She's hilarious, bro. She's a fantastic voice actress. Like, she's a great actress. I think Keke Palmer's just really cool. I don't know their relationship. Russell Wilson didn't say shit when Ciara did that naked ass dress, and people just, I'm just like, look, man, that's a baby mama, bro. Men express dominion over the women that have their children. That is nothing new. I don't have a woman with a child, and I can't relate to that situation. So, more power to him. I guess I would have kept that shit private. But in the age of social media, it's a knee-jerk reaction, I would imagine, to kind of just...
Yeah, seeing it and just like, oh, shit, you know. But, you know, I'm with that same sentiment. Like, if I did have a problem, and I'm married, my wife done put on some shit, and I'm like, maybe not that. Or sometimes I'm like, nah, wear that shit. What is shit? But that's a conversation that we just have. Like, it's not like I'm not. I don't hardly post anything private life on social media right. As it is. But it definitely wouldn't be a disagreement with my spouse.
I felt like they probably had an argument about it, and she was like, "I'm wearing this shit. Get the fuck over it. I'm going to see Usher. This is what I'm wearing. Get over it." Her whole attitude just kind of felt like. Like, it wasn't like he got shocked. He didn't see that dress for the first time. But I get it. Everybody don't want they woman's ass cheeks to be out. But at the same time, bro.
It's Keke Palmer's ass cheeks.
I mean, I wasn't going to even say that. I was just saying, like, you can scroll Instagram and this shit is the norm. I you know, so the rage is kind of lost on me. But I definitely didn't need the statuses and the think pieces. Like, people wore me the fuck out in half a day. I was just like, bro, wrap this shit up. But it's not that fucking serious, bro. Can we move the fuck on? We already had the sub shit. Everybody chose if they wanted to go to heaven or hell when this sub shit happened. And people made their motherfucking choices, bro.
I didn't choose either one.
That sub shit happened. And oh my God, the moment the niggas started to tell me that oh, man, they're using the sub to distract us. I was like, bro, it's a lot of shit going on that you're choosing to not read in lieu of this billionaire thing. But it's crazy how, like, I don't know. I worked on a cruise ship, so I was telling somebody. I made a post about it. I was like, man, we had to do a life raft drill. What we they crammed, like, a bunch crammed of us inside.
About 30 minutes.
30 minutes, bro. And I'm in this bitch, like, I ain't claustrophobic, but I felt
it. But you will be. You will be. How much air is in this bitch? Shut up, nigga.
Bro, I could not get over just feeling like, man, them people in that muff, that got to be the most terrifying. Like, the pressure cracking. You finna go, and you know it. And
but they said it's instant. You know, they said, you know, they were dead before, you know, they might have still been looking at the other person and then been dead and didn't know it, you know. Like, that's how quickly it was supposed to have had happened. Now, you, it'll never be lost on me the irony of, you know, a bunch of rich people on the Titanic sank to their death, and then some more rich people
look
like in so many years, I'm pretty sure it's going to be another exploration. But then that led me down a whole different dark web discovery, and I found out in 1985 when they went and found this motherfucker, they was really going to go recover two United States nuclear subs that had sank out there in the Atlantic. I forget his name. I want to say Robert something or another, but it's not a conspiracy or a hoax. This is an actual thing. When they used it to, they used the sinking of the Titanic and them finding it to go get those subs. They were down there for 12 days. They knew exactly where the Titanic was, but right. They had to go do the other stuff up there for a couple of days. But it provided the perfect cover from the Soviet Union at the time, you know, Russia now. But I just found that was pretty fucking interesting. Like, that's, you know, it's always another little caveat to something.
My dark rabbit hole led me down that may not have even been the Titanic. It actually may have been another ship, and they just threw a different name and painted it because, you know,
the Lithuania or something.
Like no, that? It was something like the organic, I don't know. It was something kind of like the Titanic, but it wasn't the Titanic, but J.P. Morgan didn't get on that motherfucker.
Yeah, from what I remember. Apparently his
competitors actually did. That's the conspiracy.
From what I remember, the Titanic is one of two boats that are almost identical. I want to say that shit was called the Lithuania or something like that, or something to that extent, but there were two boats with the Titanic. And I've heard that kind of conspiracy, but I didn't care to deep dive into it that deep. But stranger things have happened. But I definitely heard the thing about JP Morgan supposed to have been on the original JP Morgan was supposed to have been on the Titanic, and like that, I'm not get on that.
Yeah, man. And other news, what else happened since we've been away? Nita Baker kicked Babyface off a tour. I don't really have much to say about it. I think they're both dope, but I feel like, you know, Nita Baker had her reasons, you know. Fans just kind of got to her and was like, you know, making her feel like this is my tour, not his. And, you know, but it's Babyface. He did a tiny desk in the middle of this. And shout out to Tank. I like how Tank just inserted himself.
Yeah,
and,
as a background singer.
Like, bro, no, because Tank is the final boss of this R&B shit, bro. I don't think no one cares more about R&B than Tank.
And I like hearing Tank talk about
Joe Budden.
Yeah, I like hearing them both of them talk about R&B too.
They, to me, they're like the both that care the most about R&B and what the fuck like it is and what's, you know. But Tank is always speaking on, you know, on this. You know, he said his words about it. I say Google it. Speaking of which, I saw
but Tiny Desk, you saw the Juvenile.
I posted it yesterday. No, the Juvenile Tiny Desk just let me know. Juvenile could do a residency right now, and I really think it would do well. I love the live New Orleans instrumentation they was able to pull off.
Trombone, shawty, and then the other guy.
Yeah, John Baptiste, they got him in there. You know what I'm saying? He came in there to play fresh off of Grammy, just playing a small little instrument just to show support, man.
What was that thing? It had a skin on it, like apex weapon.
I can't remember the exact name of it, but
does it look like a little keyboard thing?
Yeah, it looked like a guitar, but it's just all, that thing, my motherfucker was playing, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, nah, man, they opened up. Manny Fresh them opened up with 400 Degrees. You don't want to fuck with me. Do 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 do. Nah, that
every Southern black band has played that.
Every Southern black band has played for. Whoa, 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 whoa.
And then, like right before that Tiny Desk came out, Manny Fresh was talking about how he only used 3 keys for all of the fucking Cash Money shit because he didn't know how to use the equipment.
Yeah, he was saying that when it came to the tracks, just they were limited. So he was just like, bro, when we did that, bro, I think he said they only had 8 tracks. Like, I think instruments, he was like, he never used more than like 8 sounds. It might have been less than that just because, you know, what they were limited with. But even listening to it back then, that let me know Manny Fresh was ahead of his time and he just worked with what he had. And when you listen to all them beats, because a lot of Manny Fresh beats in that thing, they had a different feel, but they all had a lot of the same instruments.
They were very similar. It's a very, very similar, very signature sound.
But when he had one that sounded like different, but hot. High to me has always, I said this once before in the part, it's a motivational mantra you can say first thing in the morning. You are a paper chaser. You got your block on fire.
Remain in the G.
To the moment you aspire. You know what it is? Making something out of nothing. You handling your biz. Don't be crying and suffering. You told you take care of yourself and handle your business. And for that, shout out to Juvie. You know what I'm saying? Round of applause for NPR. That is not what I meant. Close enough, man.
And it was good to see Juvie with gray hair, man. I like to see my rappers get old, man. As I embrace my own gray hairs now. That's what's changed since the last pod. I got gray hairs now in my beard. So seeing my rappers that I grew up on get gray beards and get old, I like it.
Yeah, man, before we jump too much into the news, how you been, man? What's been going on in the life of Ocean since the last time we parted?
Man, working, man. Got my truck back trucking.
Yeah, that's an applause.
So, you know, I'm back to my company, Boris and Truck. You know, Truck is out the back.
Yeah, man.
You know, I've been reading.
Okay.
A lot. Preparing for some upcoming filming that we got on the docket.
On the docket.
Going to be directing a film that's going to be entered in some film festivals, so look out for that.
I put my work, yeah.
Kids out of school, man. They go back in a couple weeks, thank God. Other than that, man, just, you know, watching TV, watching movies and shit.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
How about you?
Man, in the past few weeks, man, I have hit the road a little bit. I've took some time on my yard. I kind of want to do some landscaping around the crib.
It's good out there, by the way.
I appreciate it.
See, your neighbor just cut his more recently than you, though.
Yeah, I cut mine on like Monday or Tuesday, and that shit took all day. Not because the yard, bitch. Just it rained intermittently, so I had to stop. And then the grass got wet, but I knocked it out. But I'm gonna do a little bit of landscaping to kind of help just with the time. Instead of working out,
plant some trees.
I worked on a potentially Oscar-worthy short film.
Hey.
Shout out to Karen. Shout out to Karen Kendrick. Yeah, man. It was a great pleasure to work with her, to work on this film. I went ahead and announced some of the other ventures I have outside of podcasting and included that in my portfolio of skills that, you know, I'm serving to the public and private sector as well. Life has been good, man. I've been getting in touch with myself, man. Really just continuing to do self-work. You know, good therapy sessions, good friends. A lot of my friends are going through life, but it feels good when you get to a good checkpoint and everybody kind of come out the tunnel and we dirty, but we alive and it's bright on the other end and we get to that checkpoint. That really feels good when you can share those moments with, like, the people around you when everybody's just, like, dealing with what they're dealing with. And you're really just trying to take life as it is. I tweaked my algorithm by doing that again because Instagram was about and Meta about to serve me some crazy shit. Speaking of which, I joined Threads. Here's the deal with Threads. I'm going to break Threads down to y'all who haven't read or cared or maybe you ain't got in your country yet. I don't know. Basically, it works off your Instagram. You have to have an Instagram to have a thread. Unfortunately, if you want to delete your thread, once you create a thread, you got to delete your Instagram. What you post on Instagram doesn't post on your threads or vice versa. However, they are linked. So I made a new Instagram account just for the thread, just so I could be on the safe side and they ain't have like a, I ain't getting a permission to link the two of anything else I had in the past. So I did that with the thread. I don't know, liked a couple things, said a couple words, backed off. I don't know who or how I want to be perceived on a new app, but I do know for the sake of Facebook has the money, the capital, and all the means to make this a worthy competitor to Twitter. I'm not going to sit up here and let everyone, you know, trick me out of saying, nah, I ain't fucking with that. When I'm like, bro, 2 years from now, bro, it's probably going to kill. I've seen MySpace die when we didn't think MySpace could die. So I'm wondering, can Facebook do to MySpace what? I mean, can they do to Twitter what they did to MySpace?
Well, to kind of backpedal a little bit, I hope this Brazilian jiu-jitsu match between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg goes down.
Bruh.
Will the AI robot beat the motherfucking Neuralink kid? Who's going to win?
Who? From what
I would go with Zuckerberg.
I'm going with Zuckerberg at the moment for the simple fact the internet has led me to believe that in his spare time,
he fights.
He fights. He's been, you know, practicing martial arts. So I always give a martial artist.
I've seen him lose, too. I've seen him lose a fight, too.
Yeah, but if you lose enough fights, you're going to get to the point where you ain't going to lose them no more.
But that's my point. I hadn't seen Elon Musk do anything. Now, like I said, I know he has that Neuralink.
He's not going to put a chip in his brain to fight, bro.
Do you not think he already has it in his brain?
No, bro.
Bro, Elon Musk 100% has that shit in his brain already. You cannot convince me otherwise. Like, you cannot convince me that Drake is not an AI robot.
Bro, if I can't convince you, I can't convince you that. So I'm not going to tell you. What I will say is when it comes to Elon, I do believe that I got enough.
First off, he's a clone.
Hold up. First off.
Clone of himself.
First off, I watch a lot of anime. I've seen a lot of sci-fi anime. I know how this goes. The Gundam prototype, you find a pilot for the Gundam prototype.
Yeah, the monkeys.
You find a worthy candidate for the prototype. They do the prototype. You use the official one.
Yes. I get that. I get that. My theory is he has it in his brain because he's already done human trials like 10 years ago.
Mm.
That's my theory. Zuckerberg is like clearly like just upload it to the Matrix and try some shit out. I lost. I guarantee I'm not going to lose that way again. But to piggyback to the Threads versus Twitter argument, Zuckerberg, to me, is not good at creating things. He is good at taking an idea from somebody else and taking that to the best of his ability. When he tried to create the Oculus thing, it hasn't caught on quite yet.
They spent a few billion dollars. But, I mean, that's...
But that's him creating this out of nothing.
Well, that had everything to do with just the climate of where we were at as far as our usage of technology. Yeah. It was way too much competition. One, the only way that idea was going to work is you would have to give that shit to black influencers. You would have to, like...
It has to be cheap.
It would have to be affordable or something you already have. Yeah. If not, Facebook should have came up with a way that you can go onto the site, register, and have them send you one, and you participate in the trial. I would have rather spent billions on doing that.
I think that's a good point, but he hasn't shuttered these things, so it makes me feel like it's a timing thing. Like, yeah. These things are going to have their place because of where they're trying to take entertainment and where they're trying to take media and how they're trying to get people immersed in different,
right.
In different aspects. It is just a timing thing. Like, it's not a mainstay convention or a daily convention for everybody.
True.
It's a very abstract thing for somebody like me or you, but to like a 15-year-old, you know, that little market right there, those 10-year-olds, those younger kids, they get introduced to technology a lot quicker and a lot more vastly.
Bro, I have recently seen a toddler swipe up his finger. Like, I'm talking about you, toddler. And I'm saying it's like, man, dang, bro.
They know it from watching.
That's just the thing to do.
When we, all of my kids, when they were like babies, they would take a phone and because that's what they would see us do.
But you know what? When I look at it, it's just like, of course, this like the potential for the human mind to adapt and learn and grow is so limitless. So at a young age, we've never truly attempted to tap the potential of children. I think countries like Russia and China, through whatever means they propagate to us, that maybe they're a lot harsher to get these results than America seems to be. But from a non-clandestine approach, I really don't think we've ever truly invested in the overall quality of the human mind. Definitely not spiritually, but when it comes to like technology. So I think when you got this technology in your hand, and it's no different from when you give your child blocks and they put the colors and they associate the colors in the blocks. That's analog, but they're still associating this is this, this means this. It's still a learning. I think cutting the corners with technology is really can potentially speed things up if we use it correctly, but it's hard to make edutainment. Like
you seen Dave, he's gonna fuck it.
But that's already happened, but that's separate.
We didn't talk about Dave, did we?
Mm-mm. All right, well, let's shift gears, man. Two shift gears. I can't wait to see that fight, by the way, though.
Yeah.
All right, so, Dave. Season three of Dave.
This was a really good season. I would think about how would Joe Budden say your shit sucks or great critique. Real good job. Now this was a really good season, man. It went through a lot of different varieties. I can't remember if the season was on the last time we were even.
No, we've recapped it before, but I think they dropped a few episodes at first, and then we got like 6 weeks. So it might have been a minute since.
We'll do the season finale with Brad Pitt, brother.
All right. So season finale. It circled back to an early episode where Dave met a someone that worked for him, like a PA, who he saw in the season earlier this season, and it was up to us to recognize her. And we're like, oh shit, either you did or you didn't. She comes back to his place where he met Brad Pitt on the set of his song for Rachel McAdams. Whole song is Rachel McAdams.
I don't remember the name.
McAdams.
Why'd you make me go on ID? Oh, you fucking
Oh man, I like Rachel McAdams, man. I thought when he went to the Met Gala, met her, it didn't end up like this whole romantic thing. It had the romantic like gesture about it, but for the most part, it was just this whole you just vibe with a person. And he even told her about the girl at home, and she was like, "Oh, I appreciate you doing this song." It's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna express myself. I'm gonna do this song," but you know. But he thought about seeing, you know, maybe I can really bag Rachel McAdams, and it's like you kind of felt it, but so much. He's at the house by himself. He done scared the girl to actually love him away. I can't even remember how he did that. Like he
probably with that fucking $10,000 sex doll that he had in there. That didn't help.
I mean, at that point, you gambling with you're weaponizing honesty at that point because it's like, wow.
I'm not weaponizing shit, bro. You spent $10,000 to fuck a robot, bro.
And he showed her the robot.
Like, you should keep that shit private and to yourself. Have a deep, dark secret and never let anybody know that.
Dave's shoulder. But no, ultimately, it was the movie. It was the movie, when they got the chance to see him behind the scenes, she just kind of felt like, you telling me one thing, but I'm watching this movie and it sounds like you just want to say that shit. Like, it don't feel, like, real. Like, what's up? You know? And, you know, Dave just kind of...
Well, the documentary...
Yeah, the documentary. The
documentary that the other...
It was about finding love, and she was just like, well...
The original way that it was done was the right way.
Yeah.
Like, that way would have been fine. And then he went back and...
He took the footage from her, wanted to change this stuff, and he fucked it up. He should have just let it be her movie. I don't know. I mean, that's one of the things. It's like, you kind of hate to see it, how he is who he is, but...
But that's a struggle between an artist and a director. Like, you know, they both have the same goal in mind, but...
Nah, he did Emma wrong. And Robin was what he lost because of how he did Emma. It's just like, you kind of see how Dave does treat the women around him and the effect and the role that they kind of, like, play with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of the biggest components of it, is regardless of this, it's always, you know, it's always some shit about a girl.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just gets him in that situation. Like, overall, it's, you know, but Dave gone Dave. But I thought it was a dope season. My favorite episode from this entire season was when Rick Ross chain got took from Dave. And he had to get it back. And goddamn, Usher looked like he was going to beat this nigga ass at the brunch. Damn, Usher. That's Killer Mike popped up at the end, made him invest in the bank. Hey, man. But, that was my favorite episode. I'm waiting for them to drop the soundtrack, because I thought that song was dope when he did the feature with them dudes. And he was just like, you know, he was just like, Hearsay. I thought Hearsay was dope. Dave had some pretty, like, cool songs. Like artistic as fuck when it comes to, like, just fitting, like, the whole narrative of the show. Like, they kill it with the music. And I really, like, the songs actually be like, hey, dog, like, okay, this shit riding. You know what I'm saying? It really make you believe it. Like, it really make you believe everything you see in it. Like, and the music can easily fuck that up because, like, Hustle and Flow. If that was anybody but 3-6 Mafia and anybody but Terrence Howard, we cannot say that shit would have landed the way it landed. But the right people got a hold of it. You know, it's hard to do that music stuff. People shit on Carmen all the time. They ain't want to see Mekhi Phifer singing.
I love that Carmen. Robert Townsend directed.
Too much hate.
And Megan Gomez. Jeez. From the Parenthood.
But I don't know. The season finale. Oh, and Brad Pitt. He meets him at the Rachel McAdams shoot. comes to his crib the next day.
Because he wants to fucking
record a song.
Record a song, bro.
That episode felt like an hour, dude. That episode felt so long when I was watching it. Like, yo, this shit is feel like a movie. And I was like, yo, this is Brad Pitt on TV. Like, so Brad Pitt comes over. But unfortunately for them, the PA is already there. And she she basically blackmailing him. Now she's holding him hostage, you know. She done pulled out the gun in front of Brad Pitt. And that's when shit just turned up. Bro, that was like the best. I'm not going to lie, man. That was probably the best, like, hour of television I've had all year, bro. Honestly, that season finale of that show was like, it reset the bar. Because the only thing I had before that was Snowfall. And I was like, yo, Snowfall, you know, that was the best TV I done seen this year. But that season finale of Dave is definitely, it definitely entered the top 5 greatest things I've seen this year on TV. Like, it definitely is up there. Like, I got to put it in the conversation now. That last episode just kind of solidified it. Like, you know, Dave is... I like the show. I like the show. I really hope it keeps going for a while. However long it's going to stay on top of what it's doing. And I like how this season they went to separate themselves from Atlanta, I guess. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, the last season of Atlanta kind of killed any... You know, any comparisons I feel like anyone can, like, bring up. But I feel like
I had some comparisons. I don't forget about them now. I always. Dave kind of to me was a white Atlanta at first. Not in the sense of it being awkward rappers and shit like that. It was...
Because it was on FX?
No, not even that it was on the FX. It was kind of the styles. The cinematic styles were kind of similar in the beginning. Like the end, the credit scenes and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff was very similar. And then Atlanta started to film, like when they started going off to like Europe and stuff like that and those other...
But I was at the end, though.
They started filming. I mean, but there was a gap of time in between there, too.
It was, but that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
But Dave, because Atlanta always had that super mysticism behind it. Dave, not so much. It was more literal and what's actually going on, you know, in rooted in reality. As the shows got older, the only comparison would be, you know,
what?
That they were both rappers. Rappers. No. Like,
but you get it treated.
At the end, they were definitely, they're definitely different, distinguishable shows.
Absolutely distinguishable. I feel like FX just kind of, you know, who knows what happened up there. Somebody really may have critiqued a pilot and said, I think you should do it like this. If you do it like this, I'll show it to the bigwigs. And if somebody come to you and...
Like I said, the style of it wasn't necessarily the stories or nothing like that. It was style. They looked.
I never was truly feeling like it was a comparison because Atlanta just, like, I felt like, to me, that's like me saying Family Matters.
And The Simpsons.
Well, no. I wasn't going to say The Simpsons. To me, that's like the Fresh Prince. That's like me comparing the Fresh Prince Family Matters or Martin and Living Single. No, that's the perfect example. That's like me comparing Martin and Living Single. That's what Atlanta and Dave, to me, was always like Martin Living Single. It's just like, you got black folks in New York, you got rappers. But I felt like at the time, it was on two shows on the same network that were different from each other, that had different layers of how they told their show, but they both served their purpose well in the grand scheme of things. I feel like
I think
that's the last time I seen two shows.
I think it's more Family Guy and Simpsons, again on the same network, around the same time.
Well, that's absolutely definitively one show influenced the other. That's a stretch. I mean, that's like the amount of time between Family Guy and The Simpsons. Like The Simpsons had damn near 20 years before we got Family Guy. It had definitely a good 15. So it was an absolute influence. It's like that ain't debatable. Like, you know, Seth MacFarlane say, hey, on record, of course I'm influenced by the Flintstones. I'm influenced by the Simpsons. You know, stuff like that. But I
would say that Dave was definitely influenced by Atlanta. Atlanta was a risk. There wasn't a show like that out there. Like, if there wasn't any Atlanta and Dave came out, Dave would be a show of one of one. You know,
I see what you're saying in that point where, you know... of course, you know, if Atlanta was successful, so it was easier for Lil Dicky to get that show pulled off.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, career-wise, I feel like that was the greatest pivot. That didn't work. The rap thing was, he knew it was a gimmick, but he could.
And like, they're both good at
legit.
Rap.
But that's the thing.
I say both of them.
But he was legit.
Both of them were legit.
They were legit. You know what I'm saying? So,
that's exactly what I was about to say. It's like both of them are good at what they do.
But both of them.
And for the most part, up until like Redbone, most of them, they both had the same audience. Lil Dicky and Childish Gambino was at the same concerts.
I mean, I feel like they have, I mean, but that's more of a credit to, you know, just the way that's a completely different conversation. Like, that's a complete different conversation, bro. Like, that's, but what I will say is I appreciated both shows. But this is about Lil Dicky, this is about Dave. Dave was dope. Dave was a dope show, man. If I got to give it a rating, if I'm going to give it a rating for this season, the season finale was a 5 out of 5. But the overall season was a 4.5 out of 5. That's a 9 out of 10. I got to give Dave season 3 a 9 out of 10, bro. It was when it was supposed to be funny, it was funny. Like, yeah. It was annoyingly funny sometimes, and Dave frustrated me. But then when he became so predictable, it was like you knew. It was like, watch for the hook. Here it come. There it is in Atlanta. And it's just like, all right. I like when you can – when I know the punchline is coming and I still laugh hard, I feel like
– You get it.
I feel like that's good comedy.
I enjoy seeing the other characters develop a little bit more this season, too. Gator, crazy ass. The manager finding love, or whatever the fuck he found. And Dave, you know, matriculating through his relationships in and out and learning more about being a celebrity. My favorite episode was the Met Gala one with Don Cheadle.
Like, bruh.
That was my favorite episode.
Yeah, that Met Gala episode was dope.
I definitely give it a 9 out of 10. I look forward to it when it came out. I look forward to next season. It was a really great story. They told a really, really great story. Him faking his death and him kind of being at the influx of his career where he's like, shit, am I going to do something else? Or you know, we got this controversy. We built this controversy and now it sells and it redirects this shit. And it was a really good, well thought out season. The cameos to me were, to me they're a little not over the top, but it's just like
it felt good to see. What?
The Jews, bro. It's the Jews. Like, goddamn, bro. The fucking Jews. This nigga had Drake. This nigga had Brad Pitt. This nigga had what's the song? Angela Roberts. I want
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, Rachel McAdams. This nigga had fucking Don Cheadle, Machine Gun Kelly, MGK. I said that. MGK. Megan Fox, the real Megan Fox. I want to say some Kardashians, Doja Cat. Like, bro, the Jews. The Jews. All right.
Here you go. You know Lil Dicky's Jewish, right?
Duh. You don't say. You don't fucking say. Like, god damn. All those connections.
That's Hollywood, man. It was just Hollywood magic, man. If I made FX but I feel like if I got a show and I want a cameo, man.
Hey, Atlanta got an Emmy. What kind of cameos them niggas got? They had Cat Williams.
Liam Neeson.
At the last time, the last minute, though. Brandon, after he says some normal niggas.
You did not expect to see Liam Neeson in Atlanta, bro. That shit threw me for. That was the one, but that was a home run, bro. Dave had to get like 10 celebrities to give you the feeling that 2 minutes of Liam Neeson in Atlanta made you
feel. Liam Neeson after he went to go beat some niggas up in the park.
Yeah, after that controversy, bro, him being on there was like, oh, hell no.
Do something, bitch.
That shit, wow.
Damn.
That shit, wow.
That is nuts.
That shit, wow, man. Oh, bruh. It's... Nah, man, but Atlanta, man. But that's the type of... Shout out to FX, man.
Yeah, Snowfall. Man, FX.
Atlanta is done. It's wrapped up. Dave, we're going to get another season. Hopefully, we get one next in 2024.
So, spinoff of Snowfall.
That's still pending. They ain't said nothing about it. These shows be...
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll talk about it, but then it won't come out. Like,
and then it'll come out 10 years later.
This is the one and only Tanuki, the Mackie O'Metal. And you are listening to the Ninja Please podcast. Kuna, kuna, kuna. Shuriken, shuriken, shuriken.
That's what happened. But I've been waiting on Warrior for damn near 2.5 years.
But how long did it take them to rebuild that set? They said it was going to take them, because it was in South Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they had to rebuild the set, man. Warriors is back on Max now. Not HBO Max, but just Max now.
Back into the... All right, so Warrior is back.
Halfway.
From the writings of Bruce Lee. Currently on, as Ocean was saying, Max. Not HBO Max. It's a Max original.
Get the HBO out.
That's my favorite thing about... That's my favorite thing. That says a lot about it. Like, if this shit... If season three ends up superseding the previous two seasons, then I think we could probably confidently say that... I think if that happens, we could probably absolutely say that Max is going to keep this show going. They might make it a pro. You all right? Good, man. You got something going with your mic. All right. Yeah, it's a Max original. So I think it being a Max original is probably the best thing for it because it hinges on Max. It's a Max original. It hinges on Max success. Max being successful, they're going to need
it. Started on
Cinemax.
Started on Cinemax. I remember y'all talking about that show. I remember it popping up. You know, on the featured menu, but that show was phenomenal. And then it just went off because it had already been off the air, you know, at the time that it was on HBO Max. So they said, all right, enough people watch this shit. We're going to rebuild the set. And the set was in South Africa. So it took them, you know, it had been abandoned. So they had to go back and rebuild it. It took them about a year and a half and they got back to it, and they dropped, three episodes at first?
Yeah.
They dropped three episodes at first, and it kind of picks up right after, the hit squad had came through Chinatown, and, you know, he came out there with the nunchucks and everything, and they threw down with the police.
Yeah, Sam is, with the Hopway. I like how this season, if you're not caught up, skip this because I'm spoiled. You caught up episode 4 or episode 3?
All of them, yeah.
All right, so we're going to jump from 1 to 4. So it opens up with Chinatown. The Hopway basically ain't really got no money. They cracking down on their own people real hard since June done took over. And everybody's trying their best to support June, but he's really heavy-handed with his approach, and it's not getting them the results they need. Meanwhile, Assam's sister, she is on the other side of Chinatown, like mixing and, you know, building an alliance with several other Chinese mafias. Like, she's combining these other groups in order to, you know, basically take over San Francisco. But, you know, first thing she has to do is she got to take over. Got to take over the Hopway
territory.
Well, that's her brother.
Well, so Chinatown.
She got to take over Chinatown. And she know they're going to be the last people standing because her brother's so formidable. The problem is her and her brother are not, like, there's always this romance between brother and sister when it comes to, like, a lot of these ancient lores. What I mean by that is not, like, Eros love, but what I mean is, like, the duality allegories that, you know, that they always try to paint, right? They always paint this thing between them where, like, the brother was the moon and the sister was the sun or vice versa or something like that. They always mirror each other. So anything that she is capable of, Assam is capable of.
That's so a good point.
I feel like since she took over that territory, Mylene can absolutely, like, if Mylene could do it, Assam can do it. And he would have to undermine June in order to do it. You know, and he can't do that. But he knows, but that's that lies at the heart of June's insecurity is he knows that Assam is painted on buildings, bro. They got art of him all over Chinatown because he's the savior. He knows that he won't get that reference, that reverence. Since they won't revere him as such, he's trying to buy it. Which, you know, that fast forward to the current events. But, to also paint an extra picture on this, what else is going on? Because you gave me hip to some later events that happened that I finally was able to see. Richard Henry, our Georgia boy. I find him a nice little Southern black girl.
As DJ Khaled would say, another one.
Another one. He definitely has a type. He has that ball with this woman, and he is trying to stay off of that opium.
And not even intravenous, like through his eye. Well, I guess it is almost intravenous.
Yeah, man. He's I like him. Honestly, I like the fact that like Leary, right? I can't stand Leary. But I respect him.
That's my guy.
I can't stand his ass.
And he'll punch the shit out you.
Bro, I can't stand his ass. But if I was him, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I get the sentiment. I get the sentiment of like wanting to lift your people up. It's just the prejudice that makes me just, I can't even root for you, bro. You just prejudice. Like, bro, you just straight prejudice, bro. You can have your cake and lead them to their devices. They don't have to lose for you to win. I know that. But regardless, the means he goes through in order to see his people
eat. Yeah, he's a politician's best friend.
Yeah, you know, I gotta respect the means he go through to see his people eat. And he done took his ass, he done got his ass beat, pause, and he still, you know, got that respect because can't know. Osama beat all y'all motherfuckers. He beat Leary, bro. They kind of know, like, well, damn, the butt stopped with Leary.
Yeah.
You know, regardless, he still the Thanos amongst them Irishmen.
Yeah. We had to bring the guns in. I like the story behind this, too. They're bringing in the Secret Service because, and I like how they draw it in because I was kind of, it was interesting, like, how they were kind of painting this picture, but the Secret Service is involved. And you're like, how the fuck is the Secret Service involved? And your boy, Hong Lee. No. Your boy, Wang Chow.
Chow?
Mr. Chow.
Let's say Chow, yeah, Chow.
He peeped out, you know, he was selling some guns to some people. And he peeped out a stack of money. And so he put the hopway on a lick because, you know, why not? He's in Chinatown, do as the Russians do the Russians. Or in Rome, do as Rome. They go hit it. They don't find shit. But they go downstairs and they find a fucking printing press. And it's like, holy fuck. And
six $10 plates.
And again, the Secret Service, you know, they had another little side mission where a guy was coming in and, you know, they're on the trail of some money. A lot of people don't know that the Secret Service deals in counterfeits. I was telling my wife about that the other day. I was like, the Secret Service, they you know, they, of course, protect the president, but they deal in counterfeits and tax evasion and other shit, too. Money. So they're on the trail. Two agents come out. One of them ends up getting killed, and they, you know, they find a little bit of evidence. They know where they're going. They're going to isolate them, and the Secret Service man comes in town, and what's the captain's name? The chief.
Come on, Bill O'Hara. Well, Bill O'Hara thought he was going to be the chief, but nah, some New York guy ended up being the chief. Yeah. Fuck him.
And he a real fucking dick.
Mercer is the dick, bro. I can't stand the mayor. He just like the interim mayor because the other mayor dead, and it's just like, bro, this shit is like, I can't stand him. But I really want to know what's up with that politician that's trying to win against him. I'm wondering if Mercer is really the lesser of two evils. But we won't know. But at the same time, he's been such a thorn in the side of Assam. And Assam is my person I root for. So I kind of want to see Assam win. But at the same time, it's like, damn, bro, this is a whole network of everything intermingling. In the latest episode, things get real heated. I don't even want to fast forward that crazy because we got Assam got a little, you know, the girl got a little action, you know what I'm saying? Shawty seen him with them nunchucks and was like, have fun with your wood. Nah, she already made, bruh, she seen him. She was just looking at him because he the bad boy. Like, he the bad boy. You see.
I'm not supposed to like you.
Like, bro, he smacked her dad around, bro. You know what I'm saying? And she was, like, mad at him, but she, like.
Well, he didn't smack him around. Goddamn, stabby, gang, stabby, McStabby.
Yeah, the gang, yeah, the gang he's in, like, bro, you the, like, you're better than all of these dudes. You can fight. Like, you should be running this shit, like, and you got a heart. You got a heart and common sense. You be good to the people. Like, you should really.
Yeah, young June, though, he.
Lil June is a firecracker. Bro, he's TNT, bro. He about to blow because, like I told you.
He's a sticky.
Well, bro, he's self-conscious, bro. He's jealous of Assam because he knows he'll never be that guy.
Yeah, he's never be the hero.
He's not going to be the hero. So he's out here just trying to flex power. He want people to respect him. They respected his dad, but if you, when you can't get respect, you fuck it. I got fear. Yeah, if I can't rule by respect, I'm going to rule by fear. So June knows, all right, I'm going to rule by fear. Hassan would be able to rule by respect, but he can't. Like, it's going to look like a setup if he say, even if Hassan get everybody to, like, neutral, go neutral and just say, look, let's just fall back. Let's just step away from this shit. You know what I'm saying? They think, oh, you was in with your sister on this. You made this shit happen so she could take our territory. Yeah. Like, you're like, nah, that's not it. But his sister's calculating enough to get close to them in order to do that.
And I mean, in reality, that's what needs to happen. They need to get together. They wouldn't be able to be.
But he knows he can never trust his sister. But everybody around him knows he's going to trust his sister. And she's going to force everybody into a position where they need her. Because that's her talent. So when she forces everybody into a point where she going to have the best idea in the room. But you know she going to come in the back door and fuck you over. I feel like at that point, I'm going to just assume she's going to fuck me over at some point and try to prepare for it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to trust her. And Assam,
bodyguard.
Yeah, and Assam know what's up. But I like the how they fought
straight off the dribble.
That's how that
off
shit.
Off the dribble,
like Lee, bro.
They didn't waste no time. Bruh, this shit didn't
Assam
go past.
And Lee on episode one, just like, bro, we finna get right back to it.
And he had a little warm up in the alley, like, hey man, stop, man, get the fuck out of my territory. Y'all know what's what. And they're like, oh, no, smacked them.
Oh, so you're the talkative one. Who's the smart one?
None of you are.
Man, just get ready. Like, all right, bro, y'all leave this nigga alone.
Then, like I said, him and Lee, I was like, oh, yeah, right off the bat.
Yo.
That's how you supposed to do it, though. That is how the fuck you supposed to do it. You ain't been on the air for fucking 3 years.
You can't come in with all this story.
You can't come in with fucking, you need to come in on some warrior shit.
And right. I like
niggas need to die.
Bro, when they got to the, all right, so let's fast forward, man. Penelope. There's a side story with Penelope who has a relationship with Toy. So Toy is humping up. They got their little, you know, they got their yearly little romance going on at the
Vineyard. Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. Life is good. Man, here come
white man in eminent domain.
Hey, we going to drive a railroad right through this motherfucker. We need
to. And I say, hey, take that money and get the fuck out of there. Or else it's going to be eminent domain.
He wasn't supposed to be able to leave. Like, You would have had to kill him before he came. Like, the second time he came and he threatened you, he shouldn't have left. At that point, he just went missing. We got to make him go missing. The next person can come with the eminent domain shit, but he got to go. Like, he shouldn't have made it back to San Francisco.
Them girls should have been more on guard. I felt like they was too unprepared.
Well, someone tells you they're going to take you away for this from a previous dangerous life, and they gave you this quiet, peaceful country living life. You out here in this vineyard. Yeah, life has been good.
It was in a brothel.
Yeah, life is good at this point. You
making grapes. You playing grapes for wine.
Yeah, you out here working, doing that, like, ultimately, Penelope, everything she told you has been true. So, of course, your guard down.
The fucked up part about it was, it wasn't even that she told him no. It was that she was a lesbian.
Oh, no. The fact that he could never have her. As long as he thought he would have a chance,
he probably would have been more gentlemanly about that shit. Yeah. Even though he's a piece of shit. And he deserves everything that's coming to him.
He was disappointed, sad, hurt, and disgusted. Because he was like, damn.
That might as well be a witch.
And she Chinese. And the girl you sharing your bed with.
Get her the... Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, bro. He was disgusted. Like, he couldn't take it. So, because, bro, he came there. It was like with rifles and fire. Molotov cocktails. Yeah. He just, bro, I'm talking about when the women came out of their beds on fire, bro. That's when I felt like, yo, bro, I didn't expect this shit to get this dark. Like, damn, these women are dying. They got burnt to death. They got shot. They got killed. They got stabbed. Like, these men came and did what those American men did and still do. They just fuck shit up.
Guns, germs, and steel.
Yeah, they came out there and just fucked up everything. Like, people died. And then she still had to go to court. Lawyer couldn't do shit. He tried, but they was like, the judge was like, man, I ain't stunning this shit. I already got paid off. Like, bro, I already got paid off. Yeah. Like, bro, you talking to none. Like, did he make you an offer? You ain't take his offer?
To hold him. No in the photo.
But
no in the wall.
She, man, she had money. Ultimately, bro, the reason that wouldn't happen to no man.
Yeah, it would. You think they ain't finna kill no nigga over no railroad? They done killed.
They done killed the nigga. Nah, he wouldn't have got
it. They kill it. Yeah, that would have happened to anybody. Eminent Domain
would have happened. Yeah.
Eminent Domain, people got killed for that. Like, it's not.
What I'm saying is legally, she thought that the playing field was fair, but because he is who he is and she is what she is,
yeah,
the playing field wasn't fair. It's like, bitch, this is the late 1800s. Yeah. Like, you are
a railroad.
You can't even vote. You really think I'm funny?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, what?
Eminent Domain was a shitload less civil. We're not giving you any money.
Like, what?
Set your house on fire. Side note, the government bought Breonna Taylor's house for $1.
Oh. I mean, I'm pretty sure that wasn't personal. I'm pretty sure it was part of a larger,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But Warrior.
Yeah.
But Warrior. Shout out, man. I really like, I like everybody, man. I really want to see what happens with,
the sister, because the wife done called the police.
That situation was fucked up because
that was happening.
Like, I saw that coming, and there was nothing she could really do about it. It was just like, oh no, I felt bad because the moment he had made an advance and she pulled away, you know, it was just like,
she left.
Yeah. So when
she came back the next day.
Well, that's why she got set up, but she was trying to be business, and she's trying this business, but he see her as a prostitute.
Yeah.
He did not see her as a real person. He was just like, bitch, I'm going to take your money. I was just like, he going to take your money. I'm just looking at her like, he going to take your money, shawty. Like, so when he came at her like that, it's like, at that point, it's like, what was she supposed to do? Yell out to her friend? She is not going to choose the Chinese lady over her husband. You know, so soon as he felt the nerve to say, you know what? Fuck her. Like, I don't want my wife hanging around with this Chinese lady. I'm done. Like, she tried to kiss me, baby. She did what? Yep. She tried to kiss me.
Yep. And told me. I mean, but she saw it. She saw what the fuck happened. She was right there in the background.
Yeah. The only way she could have avoided that is she would have just, as soon as she was just like, I'll join you. Like, I'm done. Nah, she would have just never been alone with him. Yeah. Could have kept that shit away. But when he came up and she was like, hold on, bro. I ain't that type of girl. Like, chill, and your wife's right there, bro. I'm not stupid. Like, because that friendship, I think she really liked being accepted into the pond for the first time. I think she liked the legitimacy. I don't think it was just a play. I think she genuinely was like,
she thought that she was going to,
she thought, I felt, bro, like she thought she was American.
Able to work it. No, she knows better. I think, like, she felt like she was going to be able to work an angle. She said she had a plan. She wanted to work an angle. She wanted to work an end, and she wanted to get in that society. But that's what happens when you try to get into that shit. Like, they weren't gonna let her. She's not gonna be any more than somebody. She's not gonna be any more to them than a Chinese woman who can speak English good.
Yeah, I feel that. And I mean, I think that was at the root of it. She wanted to be accepted into the fold of America. America. Like, that was it, bro. Like, she wanted to be able to cross over.
Because,
and that's what it was about.
They talked about their experiences. You know, a lot of those women have never actually done anything.
No.
You know, they're not particularly educated. They're just kind of rich housewives, in a sense. She's built her own fortune. She's built her fortune like a man in a time where, like you said, the rule of thumb existed and fucking women definitely did not have any rights to anything. So again, like you said, she knew who she was, but she would never be that to them. And I'm interested to know how many people her bodyguard's gonna beat up on the next episode. I think he's gonna run through the whole house.
But I gotta deal with them cops, bro. Like, they
know it, but they gotta come to Chinatown to get him. So,
got his ass beat. Whole time Hassan was beaten. Like, damn, bro. Like, bro, that's bad. Like, and he gonna probably hold it against them. He gonna probably hold it against them. Oh, man.
Oh, you know he is.
Yeah, because he was like, where were you? He was like, I was getting rid of the machine.
Getting the press. I got
getting the press, bro. Bro, like, bro, I hit the press. Fuck you won't.
Yeah, I hit that press, all right.
Not now, Hong. Shout out to Hong, man. Golly, bro.
The horny guy?
Yeah, man. Shout out to Hong, bro.
The horny crazy guy,
boss,
man.
Yeah, boss. Let's get some sticky, boss.
Yeah.
He don't like sticky.
Oh, the whole time he like man ass.
Look at you, Hong.
And who's that, the singer? Like, who's the singer that he was messing with?
I have no idea. Like, I mean, the singer, he went and saw him on a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
You know, he went to that bar and they went to the speakeasy and you see all the, at first I was like, oh damn, this is just a super ultra liberal space. And then it turned to an origin, which is probably very reflective of them ultra liberal spaces.
Yeah. A little opium in the back. Let's turn up.
Yeah. Let's turn up. It's like, nah, bro, these freaking people going to have drugs.
Pink Molly make you dance funny.
Yeah, the black man getting dome in the bag, and I was like, oh, from Marilyn Monroe. And I'm like, okay, y'all got Blondie doming up. Okay, y'all
going there.
Y'all going there, like, bro, what the hell is going on in here?
Hey, it's Max now.
It's Max, bro. They doing the Max.
Big
bro.
Max, not Center.
Big Max. Goddamn, they mighty maxing it.
Yeah, man.
Warrior, no, this four episodes have been really good, yeah, bro.
Good as fuck. Violent. Fucking the cinematography been stellar. The fight cinematography been
choreography amazing. Is off the chain.
Buddy pull out them two knives. You know somebody finna get stabbed the fuck up.
They stabbing. They fighting. Assam is just like every episode you get a little bit of action. They're interweaving the politics, the policing, like just the suffrage of the people. I really can't. I'm dreading this season already, bro. I'm dreading the ending.
How many episodes is it going to be?
I don't know. And you know it's not going to be more than 10.
Yeah.
So we just like, all right.
Hopefully, man, they give us a good 12.
Hopefully they're already working on the next season.
Yeah. It shouldn't take as long as this one because they had said they had to rebuild a set, so.
But Warrior's back, man. Go watch it. Comes out every Thursday on Max. Every Thursday on Max, man. Go and check it out, Warrior Season 3. You can binge the first two seasons. You will do yourself a favor. Everybody I talk to, I'll be like, you watch Warrior? Like, nah, you'll like it. You watch Marvel movies, you'll like it. Like, bro, if you spend your time watching any of that shit that they just sell you on those action shows they sell you on Netflix. Like, bro, if you saw Chris Hemsworth
go to behind a ladder.
Bro, if you seen
behind Chris a machine gun.
Bro, Chris Hemsworth. Bro, if you seen Extraction 2 and seen him fuck these Europeans up, bro, and then if you like that, you'll like Warrior. Because Warrior is really good story, but the action is phenomenal.
This is my family. Something, something, something. Something, something. I'm blind and naked.
The fuck?
I'm an idol.
Oh, okay. I got you. I was like, where is
my family?
We don't like each other very much.
Oh, yes. I forgot how that shit goes. That shit was hard, though.
I was like, that shit was hard. You know what I'm saying? Embrace my mother's heart. Okay. But no, we're going to get on the idol, bro. Like,
since we on Max, Big Max.